This is the From the Attic podcast with your host, Brian Watson. It's a podcast from an attic.
I was educated at the Woodrow Wilson Institute of Science between the years 1967 and 1969. At this time, people like Professor Timothy Leary were advocating philosophies such as tune in, turn on, drop out, and there was also the heavy use of hallucinogenic drugs. Can I just say at this point that these theories in no way affected my research and my philosophy?
And what exactly are you researching at the moment, Professor Dexter?
Space bats.
Right, here comes the Rush fatwa. Rockabilly. Rushabilly. Yeah.
Begin the day with a friendly voice, a companion and... Begin the day with a friendly voice, a companion and a true. Plays that song that's so elusive, with the magic music makes your body move. You're off on your way on the old Kent Road. You're off on your way on the old Kent Road. There is magic at your fingers, for the spirit ever lingers, and commanding contact and your upbeat on the tune. Invisible airways, I'll be here all day. Invisible airways, crackle with life. Brighton tenor, bright, crackle with your life. Brighton tenor, bristle with the energy. Oh, I've had me jab. Oh, emotional feedback on timeless wavelengths. Bearing the gift beyond price, it's almost free. No, I didn't have to pay for it. All the machinery making modern music is to be open-hearted. Not so kindly charted, it's really just a question of your honesty. Honesty, yes, your honesty. One likes to believe in the freedom of music. Cause this is lovely, isn't it? One likes to believe in the freedom of music. Glittering prizes and endless compromises. Shattered the illusion of integrity. Invisible airways, cracker with life, bright and tenor, this is the end. Reggae, you be 40. When the words of the prophets were written on the suffering room. For the words of the prophets were written on the studio wall. That's graffiti, that is, that's vandalism. Concert hall. Echoes with the sound of salesmen, of salesmen, of salesmen. And that's the end of that. I'll be locking the doors. Oh, no, I've done enough. 3 minutes. Oh, no, that's more than enough. That's for you, Mr. Harkness. Thanks for that.
Nobody puts a podcast in the attic.
Hello and welcome back to the pod. One of only two, I think, people to return to the attic.
Oh, is that right?
I know. You're not the first, though, so don't be getting too big-headed.
Well, I suppose it's like the second wave of COVID, isn't it, really?
yeah.
COVID too. It's unwelcome.
Just when you thought it was safe to go back
in
the
attic. Just when you thought it was safe to go to Waitrose without a mask on.
Internet sensation and all-round good egg, Dave Dawson. How are you doing?
I'm very well, mate. How are you?
Lovely ticking to see over. You again. Ticking over. Lovely weather. We do have the builders in, which isn't a euphemism.
Yeah, I'm in sunny Salisbury, and it's absolutely beautiful. We're about 8 miles from Stonehenge here. It's a paradise.
How close from the Novichok house are you?
I could virtually see it from the house.
OMG, as the youth say. Yeah.
Well, when that happens, there was police helicopters circling right around the area. We knew something was up. And we have a laugh now because we say that we had a lockdown rehearsal before the rest of the UK because we could, you know, we couldn't go near the area for weeks because it was cordoned off.
Brutal.
Yeah, brutal.
Anyway, you've been busy. I think the reason, the main reason I wanted you back on the pod was that you have been prolific, for want of a better word.
Yeah, I have. I've got the bug for it. Obviously, it's. I've got the guitar next to me all the time, and what I'm getting now is it's like a vape, really. In that a vape isn't a real cigarette, and these aren't real covers. So yeah, there you go. So I've taken advantage of the fact that my wife's not been around for a little bit because she's been doing some family business. So I thought I'll just do as many as I can, and great fun. It's all rubbish, but at least. It can be said it's consistent rubbish. It doesn't deviate. The level of rubbish of the cover doesn't deviate. That's well, fair enough, isn't it, for a self-heckle?
Well, we on NTAPs are ambitious but rubbish.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's so nice to have standards, even if they're low.
It is. So do you take the guitar down Waitrose then?
I used to do... I used to go busking in the street when we first moved here. And the most money I got was when I was just after the Novichok incident, and I decided to learn an instrumental version from Russia with Love, and that probably got me more money than me Sylvia by Focus. Yeah,
excellent. We played Shirley Bassey on NTAPs the other day. You know,
what budgie?
Yeah, I did. That went out to Sheila on Ward 7, and. It was Shirley Bassey and Goldfinger from the James Bond film Moonraker.
Oh, right. Now, what I meant was, I was being a bit obtuse there. I'm an extreme budgie fan. You know their song Parents, obviously?
They're from Wales, near Wales.
Yeah, but they do a song called Parents, which is on a very early album. You must have heard that, Brian.
Nope.
Right, listen to it when we finish, because Bert Shelley is an extreme Shirley Bassey fan, and if you listen to the first line of Parents, it sounds like it's literally Shirley Bassey. So have a listen to that.
I know there's a few Progzilla presenters who are big budgie fans, but I can't count myself amongst them.
I'm surprised, really. I mean, that they're an incredible band. They're so influential. I saw them many times in the 80s, early 80s. You know, they're a huge influence on the album and a huge influence on Metallica. They're just a properly brilliant band.
I know. I must have seen every band that played at Bradford St. George's Hall between 1979 and 1983, but never got to see them. And they... I think the way of saying it is they crept under my radar.
Yeah, but this, you know what, I'm a neo-prog nut. I mean, a lot of people don't like the term neo-prog, but for me it was the wave of seeing bands when you knew you'd never seen the originals. So the big five or six for me were like Marillion, 12th Night, you know, Palace, IQ. But... I'm finding bands that have slipped beneath the radar now. Like, I wasn't into Haze. I don't know how I missed them. Wasn't into Comedy of Errors. I don't know how I missed them. And there's just a sleuth of, like, bands of that era that really should have... I should have been well aware of them. I'm not sure if it's the fact they didn't get press or what, but I'm finding that the neo-prog movement was much, much bigger than I thought it was, you know? So it's quite easy for a band to slip under.
You and me both. The thing was, I went to university from 83 to 86. So I was quite busy playing hockey, playing rugby, drinking beer, and ultimately getting a 2-1 law degree at the end of it.
Right.
But I kept all my staples, so I had all my Marillion and my Rush, and I kind of was in a time warp for 83 to 86. So I blew Oyster Court at Sheffield City Hall on the Revolution by Night tour, though.
I saw them on Club Ninja with Girls School supporting. It were really, really good, actually.
I saw Girls School,
yeah. 86, was it?
Club Ninja, that was before Revolution, wasn't it? So it will probably... not sure.
The single was called, if I remember rightly, it was called Dancing in the Ruins.
Dancing in the Ruins. They missed the G out, though. I think it was Dancing.
Yeah, it
apostrophe.
Was. Yeah.
I have issues with that, Dave.
Yeah, you should. In that case, I recommend don't look at too many punk sleeves from 1978 or DIY stuff.
I went to a posh grammar school, and it was punks versus rockers. There was like a diametric opposition between all the ones who walked around with spiky hair and spat at each other, and all the articulate, intelligent, cultured ones who listened to decent, at the time, what we thought was decent music. But it was only when I got to uni and a mate of mine, Gordon, played me stuff by the Stranglers and the Damned and the Clash and the Jam, and I thought, bloody hell, these are quite good.
Yeah, it is. And as much as they sort of, I mean, I know a lot of punks personally because of this punk book that we're doing at the moment, and I know they all knock prog, but they were secretly really, or not so secretly now because they're coming out, but they're really big prog fans. I mean, John Lydon. Everyone says John Lydon was, you know, sort of taking off Ian Dury because he began to see Cure on the High Roads. But for me, when I hear John Lydon's voice, all I hear is Peter Hammond and Van de Graaff Generator. He was a colossal Van de Graaff Generator fan. I know Captain Sensible this will make you laugh. Captain Sensible was a big prog fan, and a friend of mine called Al met him once, and he goes, I do know that you love your prog, so there's no point in sort of denying it. Who did you like? He goes, well, he liked Egg, he liked the Polite Force, and he said basically all of it up until 73, and then none of it after 73. So he sort of only listened to stuff sort of before 1973. So they are all into it, New and Can and all that lot, yeah.
Excellent. I believe you have a guitar with you at the moment.
I have my 1978 Fender Telecaster, which was once, this belonged to, I won't tell you his name, just see if you can guess it, all right? So,
Ackerbilk.
Was it that badly played that you can't work it out?
Lonnie Donegan.
Not Lonnie Donegan, the other one. Now, Nile Rodgers. I know the styles are close, Brian. But what happened was...
Burt Whedon.
Not Burt Whedon. I bought this in 1982 when I was 14, because my dad said you can graduate from a Woolworths K guitar now because as a reward. And I went to Andy's Guitar Workshop in London in Wardour Street. And he said to me, this is secondhand technically, this guitar. It's a 78 Telecaster. It's technically secondhand. I need your phone number, though, because I might have to have it back. And I said, why is that? He said, well, the bloke that dropped it in, he dropped it in for a reset and he never came back. And I said, who was it? And he said, Nile Rodgers. And Nile Rodgers, then that name is a 13-year-old headbanger, 14-year-old headbanger, that meant nothing to me, but the name stuck in my head. And then I found out that he'd said in a documentary that around about that time, he was so, let's put this diplomatically, medicated, that he used to take guitars in for resets and forget where he'd taken them. So that's when I knew for sure that I had Nile Rodgers Telecaster, which I still have.
Anecdote.
He's not having it back.
Anecdote
I
time.
Money for this.
Before Mrs. W and I were married and we were going out, she dragged me to a festival, an outdoor festival. And yeah. She said, you'll love this. You'll absolutely love this. And it was chic.
Yeah.
And it was truly fantastic.
Oh, I mean, he's a genius. So look at the stuff, you know, it's a production work is where you've got to look at. You know, he wrote that main riff for Let's Dance by Bowie.
I think I saw something on the interwebs about it.
It's basically the strangest chord, so it's like really straight. It's all based on triads and like chords that don't exist, you know. Really strange player.
Very good. He was on. We've been watching a series on the iPlayer about. Top of the Pops, and they'll do the years, so they'll do 78 and 79.
Yeah, we watched all those, Brian, yeah.
Amazing. My guilty pleasure, of the one that gave me the biggest pleasure out of all the bands was Adam and the Ants. I adored Adam and the Ants, but would never, ever admit to it.
Well, you know, I'm really, as you know, I'm a colossal Fish Meridian fan, and I remember at the time, you know, being a kid, and like you couldn't be a headbanger and be a neuromantic, or you couldn't be a rude boy, but you know, as a metalhead, I was still listening secretly to the Selector and the Specials and Madness. So I remember Fish coming through at the time. He was promoting Fugazi and said something in Sounds to the effect of, it's just another uniform. There's only two types of music, good and bad. You can listen to anything you like. So I used to be into that term guilty pleasure, because now I think if it's a good song, it's a good song, you know. And stuff like Devil Woman by Cliff Richards, you shouldn't like it, but you go, that is a proper, proper pop song. There's so many songs like that, you know.
I can't remember that. There's one Cliff Richards song that I adore, and I can't remember for the life of me the name of it. Was it the one where he was roller skating on the video?
Oh, Wired for Sound.
Yes, that's the one.
Yeah, which is about Walkmans. How'd they do that now? Wireless for Sound. That. What am I talking about? Wireless for Sound.
Wi-Fi, but then they'll go into all the different codecs, the Wi-Fi codecs, APTX and LDHD or whatever it is.
Yeah. There's so many songs like One Off Artists where you think, wow, that's a wicked. I mean, I don't think I know, although don't say you're one of them, I don't think I know anyone that doesn't like The Safety Dance by Men Without Hats.
Men Without Hats, I believe we've played that on Not the American Prog Show.
Well, it's a brilliant tune. I used to do a cover of that when I was doing covers in solo. It's a beautiful tune. It's relentless. It's like, bam, you can't not like it. You know, it's brilliant.
I love watching all these documentaries because it gives me chance for me anecdotes like the vapors turning Japanese. I say that's about masturbating.
Well, I've got the vapors in the book I'm doing after this one. So we've got the punk book I'm doing, but then we're doing a reboot of our first book. And David Fenton, he's done an amazing bit of work for us. He tends to. Obviously, that's the only question he's ever asked. So I did him a little letter, and I deliberately avoided that question. I made my letter about something else. But from what I hear from speaking to people connected to him, he changes the answer every time he's answered that question. So one day it's about it, and the next day it isn't. It just depends how he feels that day.
I don't have many anecdotes, though, Dave. 10cc is another one of my anecdotes.
Go on.
The where they got the name, the band name from.
Oh, yeah. What time is this going out, Brian? Because that's a bit of a post-Watershed story, isn't it?
Well, everybody knows what you get from the Attic, but I'm sure we can use the word ejaculate on from the Attic.
Yeah. Well, you just did.
And that's it. Just leave it there. Just leave it hanging. Yeah.
Maybe not the choice. Maybe not the best choice to play for the second bit. But
we're into this something about Mary now, aren't we?
We are.
So I want right, to talk. So, oh, sorry. I want to talk about the vast body of work that's in the pipeline for your fans and our frenemies as well. because you're coming for a little bit of stick from a certain fan base, I believe.
It was, listen, I said to you before we started this, it was only two or three, but as with any human mentality, you know, you get 5,000 likes on something and two dislikes. What's the first thing you do? You look at the dislikes. It's a ridiculous form of human nature, you know. I get so much love about it. I love doing it. I get so much love from people. I mean, daily messages from people. I'm looking at them now, just say, thanks for brightening my day. I really needed a lift today, you know. So it's really being driven at the moment by the requests I'm getting, you know. So, yeah, it's very, very prolific. But as I said to you before we come on there, my missus has been out of the house with family issues for a few days. So I thought, well, I'll just cram as many as I can down, you know, but not for the sake of it. I've got to feel it, you know. I don't want to be all arty and diva about it, but I've got to. I don't do something for the sake of it. But I've probably got around about 50 that are in the pipeline, and I'm going to be dripping them every sort of 4 to 5 days onto the channel. It's mainly Nwabem, mainly prog, but sometimes, like, I had an idea for a span. I was listening to Spandau Ballet the other day, you know, the... And I thought that would make a great little Cockney cover. So
I love the way you segued into not only the Skids but Jethro Tull on that one.
Well, I thought that when I first heard the record. I heard, to cut a long story short, and then I got into Tull a couple of years later. And then even as a kid, I went, "What, really? How has no one picked up on that? Shall I play it for you?"
If you must.
Well, I don't have to, but I thought I'd ruin your day a bit because you sound a bit cheerful, mate, you know.
Well, we've got, as
can't
I said,
have that.
We've got the builders in, and I'm trying to do a professional quality podcast.
Well, with if you've some... got the builders, then maybe you can get them to, maybe we can get them to do like a percussion thing, like an industrial metal thing. Could you get them to come in the room? And actually, better not.
I've given him a rubber hammer.
Right, we'll do to cut a long story short then, okay, with a little bit of Jethro Tull, okay? Now, for anyone who doesn't know this or know about the Jethro Tull bit, you will never, ever listen to this song in the same way again. So what we've got is this. We've got, we've got the Skids as well, haven't we? So 1, 2, 3, 4. I mean, that was flawless, wasn't it? 1, 2, 3, 4. Soldiers turning, seeing through white light, running from strangers, see you in the valley. I can't play it now, I forgot it. Oh, no. That bit. So right, this is going fantastic. So, yeah, running from strangers, see you in the valley. You stupid. Right, okay. Then we've got a war upon war, peace upon heat. To cut a long story short, I lost my mind. Sitting on a park bench, he's away from fighting. Sitting on a park bench. I'll do it a couple more times because that way it gets ingrained in your head. Sitting on a park bench. Years away from fighting. Oh, to cut a long story short, I lost me mind. So I'm in it now, so I'm in the zone. I've got to do the rest of it. Standing in the dark, I was waiting for a man to come. I am beautiful and clean. So very, very young to be standing in the street. That sounds well dodgy, isn't it, that bit?
Rent boys.
I didn't want to say the word.
I know you didn't, so I've said it for you.
Standing in the dark on that street, I just... But the other thing I said, he says, I'm beautiful and clean. My mum used to say to me, God rest her soul, self-praise is no recommendation. Isn't that right, Brian?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I'll tell you, while I've got the guitar out, I'll just do you the little bit that the Rush fans were a little bit controversial about, okay? And it just goes... So first of all, I said it...
I have heard this.
First of all, I only did this the other day. Also, a predominant new wave of British heavy metal guitarist who's on my friends list, he said, I dare you to redo that song worse than you did it first time. So so basically, you've got Spirit of Radio, which is...
I double dare you.
And then you've got the Rushy... I call this Rushy Billy, so it goes... You think it's going to be all right? No. Begin the day with a friendly voice, a companion unobtrusive. So we're Lucy with a magic blues, you make your body move. Here we go. You're up on your way on the old Kent Road. You catch your fingers. I can't help it. I can't sing it any other way. So from now on, Brian, it's now on your way, up on your way, on the old Kent Road.
There is magic at your fingers.
There you go.
Interestingly,
two other songs that you might hear the same way again.
Interestingly enough, you went, dah, because listening to the Skids reminded me that Stuart Adamson was obviously the guitarist.
He was indeed. He was indeed.
And I think
I'm more in line with Marquis Smith when on that stuff. I'm a colossal early 90s Fall fan, so that does channel itself in, you know.
I do think Big Country are crying out for the Dave Dawson treatment there.
It was said. It was said. But Gordon Black said that. Gordon Black, you've got to listen to this now, I've tagged you. Gordon Black said the other day, you've got to do Fields of Fire in a Cockney styling. And
I was thinking exactly the same. On Fields of Fire. Ha.
Fields of Fire. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, that would work. Mind you, they're quite big lads, aren't they? I don't want to mess about with the Scottish. I've just done a cover of the Sensational X Harvey Band and at the behest of a couple of my friends. And it went down an absolute storm. I was expecting them to kick me up the gorbals.
That was your version of Midnight Moses, wasn't it?
Yeah. As I said to you before, I thought it was going to be quite an easy song. And then you realise it's all to the bar and it's like it's very, very progressive. But they're legends, aren't they? I saw them with Cheap Trick when I was 13 in 1981. And I'd seen Kiss before that. And Kiss had just kicked a band called Girl off of their support tour. Because they'd done a Kiss cover in their set. So when I saw Cheap Trick, it's the first time I ever saw a support band. So I'm convinced to this day that 50% of the people in that crowd were there to see Alex Harvey. And I went to this concert as a kid thinking, my God, everyone's going absolutely crazy for this band. And I thought that every support band had a reaction like that. So when I then went to see Gamma, and I think Cold Chisel was supporting, and I couldn't understand why everybody wasn't freaking out for the support band, even though they were great. And of course, as you get older, you realise that you just, you know, you're just in the bar normally when the support band's on. So it was a real interesting experience to see a support band aged 13 that were driving the audience absolutely crazy. They were absolutely amazing.
Again, another one that crept under my radar. I do have fond memories of Live at Budokan by Cheap Trick, though.
That for me, I know everyone says UFO Strange in the Night or Live and Dangerous, but for me, that Cheap Trick album is one of the best live albums ever recorded by anyone. Especially, have you got the remastered one, Brian? The one with the whole concert.
I've got the every Cheap Trick album in a box somewhere.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think they're all the remasters.
This was the extended version. So in the same way as you've now got the whole of the 12th Night, you know, Live and Let Live.
Oh,
album.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. It's. I think they've done the same with the Live at the Target as well. I think the whole concert's out there, isn't it? It's the same thing. Where it's just that. It's the same. I think Palace have extended one of their... I think Palace have extended Arrive Alive, haven't they?
Palace have done so much. There's so much Palace stuff on Bandcamp. It's amazing.
See, for me, it's Lawson. I mean, I'm honoured to say I've got him on Facebook. Me and you chat a bit on Facebook, and I'm in awe of that material. I miss seeing Palace by about 3 or 4 months, but I've got a friend called Adrian Bell, who's a prog maniac, he's a big Cardiacs fan, and he said that Ewan Lowson was one of the most commanding presences he's ever seen on a stage in his life as a frontman. And I've seen footage of it, and you're thinking the charisma coming off that bloke, and there's a menace to him as well.
He was a performer, wasn't he?
He's incredible. I mean, also, without being, I don't want to give too much away, but I am actually a trained singer. I mean, I know that's probably hard to believe. So I look at the way he commands himself on the stage and the power he's got in his vocals. And I must ask him actually if he's trained, but just for me, one of the best voices in that movement. It's just so powerful. I'm not taking anything away from Anna Riggs. I do like the stuff. I had the Wedge and I had the Night Moves, but for me, Lowson is just like, there's something about that presence he had on stage, you know?
There is a difference. I mean, the sort of video I've seen of Lowson doing the Ripper is quite...
It's frightening. It's frightening. The first time I saw that, I mean, the first time I heard that as a kid, you know, on that midsection and the bit and the laughing at the end, it sends a shiver down you.
Compare that with the first time I saw Palace, which was in a school gymnasium in Rotherham. With Alan Reid, and he came on stage wearing a pair of fluffy bunny slippers.
Why is that then? Was it just get out of the bath?
I think it was a comfort thing.
Are you sure he missed the time to come on? They got caught short. We've all had that.
Might have done. It was for the Classic Rock Society in Rotherham, Dave. I don't know if you ever came across them in the 90s and early
noughties.
No, what
was that? That's under my radar. I don't know what that is, no.
The Classic Rock Society was a famous community of like-minded individuals who put gigs on during the bleak times of the 90s and noughties, and they would put all these fantastic gigs and festivals on, and they had two venues. One was a school gymnasium in Rotherham, and one was a sports centre, a leisure centre in Rotherham in Hiringthorpe. And I've seen every band that you could possibly name at some point, including Spock's Beard, for heaven's sake.
Wow, that's the name I heard for a while.
They had everybody. And the founder was a retired copper like me, Martin Hudson. It was a lovely chap, and there is a book out there that tells of the genesis and history of the Classic Rock Society and all the different and varied gigs that they put on. But it was
that's right on my street. That is, especially if it's like grassroots, anything where there's someone doing it out of love.
It was done purely for love, Dave. But IQ were there, and Palace were there, and Pendragon were there, and they all appeared. And
did you hear my Pendragon cover?
Yes, I did.
They went mad. They're such nice people.
They shared it, didn't they?
They shared it on both there. They shared it on the Mob page and on the Pendragon page. Rachel shared it. I'm always, because that was such an off the wall one. It was Shane, and he keeps on going, Shane. Da-da-da-da. I thought, just imagine if you're Shane, you go, leave it out, mate. And again, I don't know what that song's about. So I thought, if you put your own take on it, I'm really pleased how that was received. And also, their fans are just lovely. When I started doing this, I thought, you know, if I stick with metal, I'll be all right. But if I dip me water into prog, that they might give me a hard time. But no, really, a lot, Fish's lot, the Pendragon lot, they're all just, they get it, you know?
I mean, there's always going to be a few people who live in the mother's basement and masturbate into a sock who are just going to want to say provocative things just to break up the mundanity of their day-to-day.
You try not to look. As I said, I've woke up today, like 10 messages from people saying, no, it's just beautiful message. I've just discovered your stuff. Or you wake up, you've got two new subscribers. And you think, it's getting people like it, you know. So I'm really trying,
organic, isn't it?
On the light. I said to you before, you get 2,000 likes and 2 dislikes. Why are you looking at the dislikes? It's just great fun.
You could set up one of these street teams, though, and the street teams could research the trolls. It's like the Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back film, isn't it?
I love, if you remember.
And we could find their addresses and seek them out.
I love that scene. I love that scene. But then again, but it's so good.
Because
they're craving attention, whether it's a punch in the face. I mean, that's still attention, you know. You've had to take the effort to get their address.
It's like two people in the late 20s, early 30s who turn up on this doorstep and say, "Are you Butt Muncher 69? And it's this like 14-year-old kid with braces on. And
I know.
This is the door. And they just lay into him and knock him out.
I know. But I love the receptionist getting, it's just so, and especially the prog lot and the metal lot, there's so much love there, you know, I completely get it.
I don't want to sort of bring things to a downer though, but there is, I have to tell you, I don't know if you're aware, but there is a hashtag going round. You do have a nemesis, a Scottish nemesis. I don't know if you've come across this person before.
Oh, yeah, I think I know where we're going. You're talking about Council Dave Dawson, aren't you?
It's a bearded chap.
Yes. Yes, I'm aware of this individual, yes. Basically, he's saying that in these dark times where there's no light at the end of the tunnel for music, everyone was cheering up. And he said he can sum up the scourge, the problem, in two words, and that's Dave Bloody Well Dawson, which is four words technically. I'm not going to pick him up. But he looks like a very imposing figure.
Well, he's Scottish as well, so you have to be careful of the Scots.
And exactly, fiery. He's fiery, yeah. Yes, he seems to have a bit of a bee in his bonnet about what I'm doing to much love covers. But as I said, these people are in the minority. And I think, listen, let me put it this way. At least he's passionate. At least I'm getting a reaction. That's all we can, you know, if I'm brightening up his day by making him angry, I see that as a public service, Brian.
Yeah, I mean, you don't know what he's got going on in his life.
I don't know if he's armed.
It could be sexually inadequate. It might be impotent.
I'd rather not comment. As I said, he looks very, very large.
But I mean, I know boys. I know big boys, Andy boys.
Oh, I did that one. I'll do that one for you, shall I? I'll do that one for you now, shall I? Big boy. I thought it was Sparks. I'm sorry. Big boy comes. We did that one. Big boy comes around, throws his weight around. Big boy. Should we do a Sparks cover?
Spotify in heaven.
Spotify in heaven. Again, mate, I thought the Sparks slot might be a little bit spiky, but no, they're absolutely bang on. Well, they loved it.
That one with a tash does look a bit glum, doesn't it?
I've got a friend called Jimmy Rowland. I was in a band with Jimmy for a very, very, very long time. And he was in a band called Leaf Hound. And they were recording their sort of comeback album. I hate that word. They were recording a new album at the same time that Sparks were recording one of their albums next door. And Mail was in a fag break. And careful, and I know what your mind's like, I know what you're thinking. He was in a fag break, and my mate goes, "Are you bloke from Sparks?" I said, "Yeah." He says, "When I was a kid, you scared the shit out of me." And he went, "I get that a lot." So we should do Number One in Heaven. So I adore this song.
Can I introduce it? Like, say, for example, if you were going on stage, could I introduce you?
Yeah, like that's ever going to happen. Go on then.
Ladies and gentlemen, from Salisbury, near Wales, it's Mr. Dave Dawson.
Thank you very much indeed, everybody. I say everybody. Wow. Oh, I've got the wrong lyrics up. Oh, no. If you shoot the if this was live, that's it. I'm done. I've got it. 1, 2, 3, 4. If you should die before you wake. If you should die while crossing the street, you should have looked both ways, you silly man. The song you'll hear, I guarantee. All together, everybody. It's number one all over heaven. It's number one all over heaven. The number one song all over heaven. It's number one all over heaven. And even on iTunes, the song of the rage that up in the clouds. Loud as a crowd or soft as a gat. Lyrically weak, but the music's the thing. Here we go. Gabriel plays it. What, Peter? Gabriel plays it. That's how he plays it. Gabriel plays it. God, how he plays it. Gabriel plays it. God, how he plays it. Gabriel plays it. God, how he plays it. Let's hear him play it. And it's something like this. One more time. It's number one all over heaven. It's number one all over heaven. It's number one all over heaven. The number one song all over heaven. And even on Spotify. But if it was on Spotify, it would be 50 quid to the artist per stream.
In heaven.
See, that's virtually indistinguishable for the original, isn't it? If you're thinking of playing those together, don't.
You close your eyes and close your eyes and you're there.
Bought a tear to mine. Yeah. I wonder if he met, when he says Gabriel plays it, do you think he met Peter?
Probably.
Listen, I've done a Genesis one, which I haven't posted yet. I'll give you a little sample because you haven't heard this one. All right. Name that tune in one. One, somebody said to me, can you learn Willow Farm in a Cockney style? So I tried to and I couldn't. So I thought, I've got to do a Genesis one. I will do, name that tune in one. I'll give you 10 seconds, Brian. Ready? 1, 2, 3, 4.
It's the knife, isn't it?
It's the correct answer. Well, it is in a sense. It's more of a bit of blunt plastic cutlery, but it is a knife.
Spork. Yeah. You should call it spork.
Spork.
Which is like a spoon, fork, cross that you use in camping. Call it spork.
Tell me, mummy is about to begin. Yeah, you can make an effort out of that. Tell me. You can make it about having a meal, then some dessert afterwards, and chocolate, so you can go, tell me my meal is about to begin. I want a miniature hero.
Or celebrations.
Now, that's cool in the gang, mate.
Quality Street.
Quality Street. Yeah, okay. Right, is there anything else you want to know before I go and do a cover of a song by Pagan Altar?
I would quite like, I know I don't want to put you on the spot or anything, but I would quite like to hear what a Big Country cover might sound like.
What, on the spot now? I've got Absolutely. To learn the chords.
No, you don't. You just make them up.
All right, let's get the words then.
We can just hum the bits. Okay, just hum the bits. I just want to go there.
I'm down on you there, mate. No, I'm going to take, so this is really on the spot. Because what my what I normally do, as I think I said to you before, I find a song I want to do or that I'm requested to, one of my, in parentheses, fans, and I still can't get over saying that, and I'll half learn it and then I'll put it down. And when I read the lyrics out, you're getting the real reactions. But what I'm going to do here is do it right off the cuff, okay? So
I just want to shout out, shah!
That's, do you think that Fish nicked that off of Stuart Adamson?
I'm sure he did. Write him a letter and ask him.
I never see you look like this without a reason. Another promise falling through another season. Please, it passes by for you. Here we go. 1, 2, 3, 4. Oh, 1, 2, 3. All together now. In a big country, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, it all. In a big country, dreams stay with you. Like a lover's voice fills the mountainside. Stay alive, shut. Is what I can't do. Stay alive. Stay alive, which is what I'll be struggling to do when people hear this cover. I can do it now, look.
Yay! It never leaves you.
La 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 la, that'll work. La 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 la. Juicy men in Bonda. Yeah, okay, fair enough.
Marvellous.
There we go. That's how it's not done.
Marvellous. It's been a pleasure as always, David.
Well, you would say that. No, it's a mutual pleasure, mate. Mutual pleasure. Just a bit of fun. We'll do another one of these. If people are still listening. Yeah, I'll do it now in a couple of months if I'm still alive, because I understand that, as I said, because there's been a various, we've got a Rush Faxoir, and I think we're going to have a Pink. I think there's going to be a Pink Floyd Faxoir when they hear my Comfortably Numb.
Oh, yes. We haven't mentioned that one, have we?
I could do a little bit now if you like.
I haven't. Yes, I don't think I've heard it yet, because you didn't. You said you'd done it, but you didn't.
I was too scared to. Ready?
Go on, then.
You've got to do the intro. Watcha. Is there anybody in there? Just don't know if you can hear me. Is there anyone? I'm from Parcel Force. I can't do it. Can't go unless it's signed. Oh, okay. There is no pain. You are receding. No distant ship on the horizon. You're only coming through in waves. Look at the screen. Look at the screen. When I was a child, I had a fever. My hands just looked like two balloons. I've got loads of Christmas parties. People just come to me. They say, "Hey, are you the balloon guy, mate?" I said, and I say, "Yeah." And they go, "Do you do dogs as well?" I said, "I can't answer that question." They said, "Can you come and do a children's party for us?" And I'd normally be available. Because I have become uncomfortably strummed. So that's where the Pink Floyd Faxoir is going to come from, Brian.
I have done balloon modelling. It's a worm, it's an eel, it's a snake.
It's very good. Four for the price of two.
Yes.
Again. Okay, mate. I think we're done. I think we've let them suffer more than enough today.
Are you going to your posh supermarket again now?
Yes. No, we can't. We've got a Tesco delivery coming. We found a slot. You pardon the
expression. No. Yeah. Mrs. W told me about that. She tried to get a delivery and it was gonna be like September.
That's right. No, they've had a couple of slots come open, so there you go. Right then, and cheers for that Marillion cover the other day, Mark. I don't know what you did to that sound, but it was spot on.
I put it through a DAC.
A DAC?
A DAC. Digital Analog Converter.
How did Ant feel about that?
Is he the one who was done for drink driving, or is it the other one?
I don't know. I don't watch it.
I'm vaguely familiar that they exist in the same reality as I do, but...
In the same reality... You're playing that show tonight, aren't you? You should be plugging your show, not me. I want. Have you got a repeat for that Marillion one tonight so I can tape it?
No, I'm doing the podcast when we've finished.
Oh, cool.
When we've finished, I will do the podcast, which we'll have that in. But you're making your American prog debut next Sunday.
Oh, what is that? Is that the Sparks one?
Which one did we, I can't remember which one we played now. Hold on.
I mean, sorry, just for a second. Are Sparks prog? I suppose they must be.
Well, we've played them on our show, so.
Well, you know the stuff they were doing around about when they were doing Little Beethoven? Now, that was really very, very experimental stuff, wasn't it? It's got to be prog, surely.
If it's interesting, if it's different, if it's good. Going back to the differentiation that we made earlier, then it gets in.
Good, good. And just lastly, speaking as a colossal fan of this man, would you class sort of 90s to 2000s era Scott Walker as being progressive rock when he was doing The Drift and Bish Bosh and maybe Tilt?
I'm not that familiar with his work, but it would get in.
Okay. Okay, well, I strongly recommend that you listen to The Drift because it's a very, very strong piece of work. It was called The Drift because he would start with a certain lyrical idea and then he drifted off into another idea and then wrote to the new idea without telling the listener what he was doing. So that, and in interviews, he wouldn't discuss his songs. So what you'd have is basically a stream of consciousness lyric, which only the writer... It was impenetrable. Only the writer would be able to interpret what it was about. I know it's an overused term, but he was a genius. Yeah. He was up there with Bobby Crush. I'd say he was up there with Bobby Crush. He's probably one of the most influential figures of our time.
I mean, as far as Bobby's go, Crush is up there with Davro.
Yeah. There's so many, isn't there? I just wish I could think of another one.
Ewing.
Moore. No, I meant Bobby Moore.
Ewing.
Huey Brown.
Huey Green.
You can't deviate into colours now. I could say Walter White is a fictional character. Yeah, okay, mate. I think we're done.
Huey Green's not a fictional character.
I wish he was.
I've seen him on the telly in black and white.
No, that was WandaVision.
No spoilers. No spoiler. All the Marvel people will be going onto the cancel Dave Dawson hashtag.
Oh, there's another. Yeah, we saw it. We finished it last night. It's incredible. Yeah,
it was all a dream. Everybody.
Loved it. That's okay. Yeah, that's the get out. Yeah, yeah. Just like
it was
the
all
unit.
A dream.
It was absolutely it, right.
It was.
I was going to say something bitchy then about the new Yes box set release, but we'll leave it.
It was part of Vision's cash.
Absolutely.
They took him down the
ATM
PC repair people at Kerry's, what are they called? The know it all guys or whatever.
PC World. He wasn't a real policeman anyway.
They got it from his hard drive without an H.
Yeah. I can see where this is going.
There were lots of pornography on there as well. Lots of pornography.
All right, fair play then, mate.
All right, lovey. See you again soon.
Take care, mate. Speak to you soon.
Keep your tongue out.
All right. See you later. That's Gene Simmons. See you later.
Ta-ta.
Bye.
And we're done.
Yeah, done.
Bish, bash, bosh. I can't believe that was like 40-odd minutes. It was just, where does the time go?
In the words of Fairport, yeah. Yeah, if you got common ground, though, you know, it's like when I do the punk stuff, when I do the punk interviews, that they're going, where did the time go? I said, because you got common ground. It's not going to be stilted. When I used to do, when I was promoting my first book, I did it through all the BBC regionals. I had to go to BBC Wiltshire, and I had slots for every BBC regional in the country. I did about 13 in one day. But it's so painful when the person you're speaking to doesn't know what the product is and what they're talking about, you know. It's painful.
Well, yeah, having no frame.
It feels like a sales pitch.
It's having a frame of shared reference, isn't it? And growing up in the same shoes, walking a mile in me Crocs.
Yeah, yeah, I know. It's exactly that. Exactly that. So that's why it flies.
Because you'll say something and I'll think, oh, I remember going to see that band in 1979. And then...
That's what it's all about, though.
But you'll say something else and...
Check out Budgie and listen to a song called Parents. And just bear in mind that Shirley Bassey is his favourite singer. The first time I heard that song, I thought it was Shirley Bassey. And he's like this big Welsh person, looks like a welder. Really odd stuff.
Steve Bleece on Progzilla is a massive Budgie fan, and Alan Kraslow, the American dude, is a huge Budgie fan as well.
Yeah, I am a colossal fan. I mean, they've got songs. They've got a song called "In the Grip of the Tie Fitter's Hand," and another song called "Sweaty Than a Docker's Armpit." And it's basically progressive rock. I was at a festival, because I'm a massive fan of the Divine Comedies and Squeeze, and they played at a festival 2 years ago in London. I went up to see them, and Danny Baker came up to me and goes, Budgie, because I have a Budgie t-shirt on. He said, they're legends. He said, Budgie, I love Budgie. Such Danny an Baker's, important band.
Danny Baker's ace.
We love him. Yeah, we love him. Lucy used to be one of his regulars on his show with LBC. Cookie from Brilliant. Camberwell, she was called. Yeah. And Brilliant. Again, his mind is just incredible.
Yeah, there's a few people who I like their podcasts. And it's these people who have almost an infinite well of knowledge, experience, understanding.
Yeah.
Belief.
Yeah, you're right. There's hardly anything that you didn't know about. Yeah. Yeah. Great stuff. Great stuff.
I've often thought some of the stream of consciousness sort of conversations me and Mike have had before would make good podcasts. But I think that's comedy gold, that 45 minutes there.
Absolutely right. Okay. That's great, mate. Have a great day then, Brian, okay?
You too, love. I'm going to see whether the builders set fire to the kitchen, because there was a strong smell of burning.
Be careful. It might look like a Rammstein concert by the time you get there.
All right, love it. Ta-ta.
Take care then, mate.
See you later, love. Right. Ta-ta.
Bye. Oh, yes. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3. Soldier is turning. Seeing through the white light, running from strangers, see you in the valley. Oh! War upon war, eat upon eat. To cut a long story short, I lost my mind. Sitting on a park bench. See, we didn't notice, mate. Sitting on a park bench, sitting on a park bench, sitting on a park bench. I'm just doing it a few times so that you never hear it the same way again. Sitting on a park bench, sitting on a park bench. Years away from fighting, oh, to cut a long story short, I lost my mind. Oh! Standing in the dark, I was waiting for a man to come. I am beautiful and clean. My mum always said, God rest her, self-praise is no recommendation, Mr. Kemp. Standing in the dark, I was waiting for a man to come. What for? This sounds a little bit... I don't want to say rent, but no, I won't say it. Standing in the dark, I was waiting for a man to come. I was beautiful and clean and so very, very young to be standing in the street to be taken by someone. Oh, and the next bit is about only connect. Because they say, questions, questions, give me no answers. That's all they ever give me. Questions, questions. Oh, look at that strange boy. He finds it hard existing. Oh, to cut a long story short, I lost me. Mind. I there'll be no problems with that at all.
And it's over to Tony for tonight's gamble.
It's star prize time, it's 101 or more, and it's Brian Throy. And that's a one. Oh, that's out the board. It's a one, it can't be done, unfortunately, but that's the gamble.
You have failed me for the last time.
Please, I can keep failing you.